Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. To get into the Word today, and I want to thank the prayer team meeting every and those that pray pre-service prayer, because I got this message, and toward the end is really where the Lord's going to minister, and the meat of this Word is. And so I know God gave it to me, and before I was speaking with Sister Mary over our prayer team how we're going to do the altar, the Lord has already dropped into Sister Doreen exactly what you're going to see at the end of this message. So the Lord is going to do something special. And he's going to help some folks today that's been dealing with some issues of heaviness and some things. And so I just want to get you expecting even more of what God is going to do in your life today. Amen. Will you open your Bibles to the book of Titus chapter 3 and then stand with me today in honor of the reading of the Word. We love to stand as they did when Jesus' day and Nehemiah, they stood during the reading of the Word to give honor to the Word of God. And so Titus, you may take a minute to find it. It's in the New Testament, right after Timothy, right around Thessalonians, Titus chapter 3. We are continuing with the fruit of the Spirit. It's called the proof is in the fruit. And we were talking about when a person yields to God, how these fruits come alive in our life, and how we are needing the fruit of the Spirit more now than ever. And it's really been ministering to me and a lot of people. And so we're going to continue with that today and talk about kindness. Go ahead and throw Galatians up on the screen. These are the proof of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and then kindness today, goodness and faithfulness. And so as we look at kindness, we're going to look at Titus chapter 3. We're not going to spend all day in this scripture, but it's a great scripture to push off of, and it's just an amazing text on what kindness does. Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish. How many can say check? We were disobedient. We deceived. We were serving different lusts and pleasures. Check, check, check. Living in malice or evil and envy, hateful and hating one another. Check, 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 check. Amen. But, everybody say but. But when the kindness and the love of our Lord God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You should underline those three words. He saved, even though we were evil, we were hating one another. He saved us. And then he changed us. How? Through the washing and regeneration. That's what regeneration means. Changed us. And renewed us, renewed our mind of the with the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How many are going to inherit eternal life? How many has an inheritance today? Amen. This is not all there is for the believer. If you're an unbeliever and you don't know Christ, this is the best it's ever going to get for you. But if you're a believer, this is the worst it's ever going to get for you. You believe that today? And then he says in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and he's talking to Titus, Pastor Titus. These things I want you to make sure you affirm constantly to your people, that those who believe in God, how many believe in God? So this is for you and for me. If you believe in God, you should be careful to maintain good works. Acts of kindness. These things are good and profitable to men. Look at verse 14. He says it again. And let your people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be what? Unfruitful. That's what we've been talking about. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Have your way in our service today. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated today. Amen. I want to give a shout out to Joe and Linda who are here, Donna's brother and sister-in-law. God bless you. Yeah, watch every week from up north, and now they're here in person. And if you watch us online and you happen to make it here to one of the services, let me know. And it's so good to have you in person as we get through this. So kindness. So we've been talking about the fruit everybody, you know, wants is joy. The fruit everybody needs is patient, is peace. And then patience is the fruit that we wish you had, right? The person wishes you had. I want to call this kindness is the fruit everyone expects you to have. Okay? Everyone expects you and I to have kindness. It's kind of like reminded of that story of those two little boys on a Saturday morning waiting for their pancakes. It was Pancake Saturday, and Mama was making her pancakes, and so they began to argue over the first pancake. And Mama heard them arguing. They were pushing and shoving, and they're getting ugly, so Mom thought it was a teachable moment and said, turned around and said, boys, now let me ask you, what would Jesus do if he was here? And the kids go, oh, Mom, I don't know. What would Jesus do? And Mom said, Jesus would say to his brother, you can have the first pancake, I'll wait for the other. And so the two boys looked at each other, and the older one thought about it, and he said, okay, you be Jesus and grab the pancake. We expect other people to be Jesus. We don't like to be Jesus. It's like patience last week. Patience is not losing it when you're sitting in traffic, right? You're having patience. Kindness is when you let the guy in who did not follow the sign that said merge lane ending, and he comes all the way down to the end with his blinker on. Say amen or ouch, that's me. Kindness, patience is holding their kindness, is letting them get in even though they don't deserve it. How many know we need more kindness today in our culture today? Amen? That's kindness. So are you a kind person? The Lord really dealt with me. I've never preached on kindness. Some are born kind of with a temperament that's kind. My little grandson is one of the sweetest little kids ever. He just has that, you know, that ability to be sweet. I was not born with that ability. I came out, I was a little fighter, and my mom and dad were just talking about it. I was just mean, needed Jesus, amen. And so some naturally have it, some don't. But when you get saved, the Lord begins to do a work in our heart, and we do start to bear the fruit of kindness. But our society needs more kind people. We live in a very rude, selfish, and petty. Somebody say petty. You agree we live in a petty society and a petty culture? So I want to show you this quick picture that I think sums up our culture and this pettiness, lack of kindness that we have. I know it has snow in it, so I don't want to trigger nobody for winter, but please don't be this guy. You know how much energy it takes to not shovel the whole walkway, the whole step? I ain't gonna do it. So I did a little deep dive on it. I had to just find out what kind of person does this. And this guy is in Chicago. And this person was, so if you're in Chicago, Jeremy, I know you watch. This ain't you, brother. I know that you watch, you take care. You would have done the whole step. So, but this happened in Chicago. And the guy was proud of it. And he has a caption that says, just because we're neighbors doesn't mean we're friends. We need some help in there today, in Jesus' name. But we don't want to be there. That's kind of like the culture of what we have. What is kindness? Kindness is doing the entire walkway and the entire step, no matter what, even if you don't like that person, just showing kindness. Mark Twain said, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. I love the scripture we just read because it really just captures the heart of why we as believers should have kindness. And it is okay if people expect God's people to be kind, because God first showed his kindness to you and me. And just look at the scripture again, if you got it on the screen, Titus 3:3. It says, our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and his love, he saved us. So I wrote this down. Kindness is an indicator that a person understands they have received the kindness of God. I think that really is the snapshot, the truth, the summary of what kindness is. It's an indicator that a person understands that we didn't deserve God to let us in the traffic. We didn't deserve God to give us the first pancake. Come on. We didn't deserve our steps to get done. We didn't deserve God to do even something greater than that by demonstrating his love and kindness by while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to get that. He didn't wait until we become pretty good people. We're not good people. And it's through the kindness, it's because God loved us and he showed and demonstrated his kindness to us, even though we didn't deserve it. Those of us who understand that, it helps motivate us to be more kind. One of the greatest testimonies is when a person has a changed life. When you look at a person that was not kind, but now has kind. Remember, this is a fruit. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have nice in our culture, and I was going to go with all these definitions, but I'll just give you this one. Nice means to be, is to be agreeable. Nice means to be agreeable. Now, we got nice in our culture. We even got nasty nice. Nasty nice when you're just agreeable and you don't want to be agreeable. We got that. Kindness is not like that. Being nice, not agreeable, as long as you want to agree. Kindness is being agreeable even when you don't agree. It's a fruit. You can't have it without having the Holy Spirit in you. You're not going to let that man in the traffic. He don't deserve it. Hallelujah. But if you're a Christian and we act mean, if we're a Christian and we don't have kindness, the Holy Spirit says, hey, wait a minute. You need to be the one to step up and shovel that neighbor's lawn or shovel the steps or cut the lawn, whatever. The Holy Spirit will produce this in our life. And it's a great testimony to find people that used to be mean and cruel, anger problem, to go to being kind. Putting this message together, I talked with Val before service because I could not help but to remember one of the sweetest and kindest person that I've ever met. That was our brother, Don Swenson. And if you knew Don Swenson was a part of our church, a head usher, and he cut the grass here for 20 years. And the man was just a very sensitive man. And he would just, when he talked about God and talked about the growth of the church, he'd whip out that hanky. And he'd get emotional. He'd just wipe those tears. He was just such a sweet, gentle, kind man. He gave all of our kids pieces of gum. Amen. He'd stand back there. And I remember when him and Vail first came to the church, they came out of the Catholic church and they came to where the Spirit of God is moving. Hallelujah. And anyway, and Dad preached a message. And at the end of that service, I remember I was up on the drums. I'll never forget it, Vail. I watched you and Don come up and give your hearts to Jesus. Don came up to that altar. And he said, my attitude used to be, I don't go to church. The wife does enough praying for us both. Because the family even told me that Don wasn't always that sensitive. Val said he was a grumpy old man. Come on. Don would even tell you he was a mean. And I can't even picture Don being that way. Why? Because God changed his life so much. And he went on mission trips with us to Honduras. He went to Israel with us, and he just couldn't get enough of God. He had his hanky out the entire trip, just tears just running. Let that be said of all of God's people, that we were once this way, but since the kindness of God was demonstrated to us, it changed the way we are. Let me tell you something, people. Kindness can change your family. And I love seeing Diana and Scott here. Scott's serving on our security team. And Don prayed for this family. And here they are. Kindness can change the trajectory of your family. Kindness can change the environment at your work. Kindness can change your business and your client relationship. Kindness can change the atmosphere at your kitchen tables, Dad. Kindness is the thing that can change all of that. Well, as I told you, that we're not all born with that kind of demeanor, and I wasn't. So I'm going to frame this message like this because first time I ever seen the word kindness was actually on the back of a report card when I was in elementary school. We would actually get graded on attitudes. I don't know if we still do that anymore. So you had your math and your English, but on the back, we had our attitude check. And I remember, and it had the word kindness on there. And I was gonna get this report card because Mom has these report cards. And I went to school too, so I went to E-Corps schools. And so school twos, you can remember them because they had school one, school two, and school three. Come on, amen. A lot of thought behind those, amen. So I went to school two and school three. So school two was elementary, K through three, and I had in my first or second grade, I had the report card Mom has, and on the back it's kindness. And I remember seeing that word, and I said, and I never got an A. My report card says, Eddie never stays in his seat and he talks to everybody. Huh? And I don't listen. What'd you say? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But I never got kindness as a check. I was not that kind of kid. But if you want to get an A, so I thought about some A's that God gives us in the Word of God, and I want to give you these that are not grades, but they're descriptions as we minister. And I want to get to this last one here that God helps us understand what kindness is. For you note takers, why don't you write this down? Kindness, number one, it's an action. Kindness is an action. It's not a feeling. None of these fruits are a feeling. The feeling follows, but we're not told if you feel kind, then to be kind. We're told be kind. We're told to be patient. Watch this. Kindness is an action. It's intentional. Look at the scripture in Colossians. Colossians says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, everybody say put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and meekness. Put it on. You and I have got to put on kindness, just like you put on clothes today, hopefully. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're like me, you got your clothes ready on the night before. I've done this when our girls were little. We would always get our clothes ready for church the next day because the devil shows up through the night with your kids. Amen. They're sweet and everything. And then in the morning, it's just like spitting up, throwing up, mad, fighting, can't find this. And so I know how to. So we made it a rule. We always got our clothes out. Even to this day, I'll get my clothes out for the day before. I've done it for many, many years. But you have to be intentional on putting your clothes on. The scripture says you and I have to be intentional to put on kindness. Now, let me tell you something. The feeling of kindness will come when you and I are obedient and we put it into action. We experience this as a church. Every August, we're going to tell some stories today. Amen. Every August, we celebrate our church anniversary, as Dad was talking. So we usually do a big outdoor service, a picnic. We have life challenge comes, outdoor baptisms, and it's a great time. We're going to have it again this August, by the way, so mark your calendars. August 18th is the day I believe we've got. But we've been doing this as much as we could here recently, is we take the finance, we raise money, and we're going to do it again this year in the cafe in the month of July. All proceeds are going to go back to help us bless our community. And so what we do is we take some teams to go to the grocery stores, Walmart and Meijer, and we take some teams in there, and it's usually the cafe volunteers. They get to do that, and they go in and they look for people. You've heard of random acts of kindness. Well, I'm telling you, we need to be intentional acts of kindness. And so we look for people and just use by the Holy Spirit and pray for folks who God wants to lead. And we go and we pay for their groceries. And every time we tell the manager that, the manager's like, what? You're going to do what? They're blown away. And man, they get like, yeah. And you ought to see what happens. We take teams to gas stations and we pay for their gas. Some of you are like, let me know when you're going to be there. Amen. We were at one gas station, and this lady ran out of gas, and right when we were there paying gas, and just happened to be there, helped them get up to the pump. And I'll tell you, the youth helped us do that. You should see people are getting prayer at the gas pump. People start crying. People start weeping. I mean, these are divine appointments. God just be, and let me tell you something. Here's the point. The feeling of doing something like that is one of the best things you'll ever do in your life, is to be able to say, listen, no strings attached. We just want to bless you and pay for your gas. And by the way, this is Jesus that's doing it for you. Because how many know we hear a lot of things negative of what the church does, hallelujah, and what that pastor did to me, and what, now let me tell you something, the church of Jesus Christ is alive and well, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is going forward, it is alive, and it reaches people in the hell. We are the church. This is what we're called to do and called to be, is to be the church. And every time we do that, man, it's just a blessing. We're going to do it again this year. How many like to participate in it? Amen. Isn't it awesome to go bless the people? So, yeah, we need to be kind to people because everyone is fighting a battle that no one knows nothing about. There's people sitting next to you today in this church that's fighting something right now. And they hear even, and you may be hearing like, be kind. What are you talking about? I haven't felt the kindness. And I know it's hard, but I'm telling you what, we're praying for you. And I pray by the end of this service that the Lord will lift something in you, that the Lord will see his goodness upon you and what he wants to do in your life. Excuse me, I gotta grab some water. Amen. Pray for me, I'm just getting over this thing and my throat is not the best, so I'm trying to not get excited. How many think I can do that? Amen. O ye of little faith. Kindness is an action. It's something that we do. It's an action. Whether we feel it or not, it's not a feeling. It's something we're called to put on like garments. Also, the Bible says kindness is attractive. Now, this is new for me. I was like, whoa, it's what? It's attractive. The Bible says that kindness is actually attractive. Proverbs says in 19:22, he says, what is desirable in a man is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. Hold on. The Bible says that you would rather be with a broke person that is honest than with a person that's got some money that can't tell the truth. Come on, all the ladies say, come on, amen. Is that true? I love it. It's hilarious. But the first part, I must admit, I never got that memo. You mean that you ladies are actually, you think it's attractive for a man to, how many ladies think it's attractive for a man to be kind? Whoa, look at here, we never got that. That Rambo was not kind. I mean, nobody on the A-team was kind. I mean, none of my heroes growing up was like, Mr. T wasn't like, fool, I want to be nice to you. I mean, it was not there. I mean, kindness is like, no, I did not get it. It was always about being muscular and handsome and having money. And you mean to tell me that it's kindness that is actually attractive? I asked my wife, I said, honey, is this true? And she said, absolutely. But I noticed that maybe some of the younger women didn't raise their hand because you probably think, nah, I don't need no kindness. He better be fine instead of kind. Come on. I want that man to have some money. If you get both, hallelujah, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Come on, somebody. But the younger ladies, let me just tell you, I think it's true. It's just, I've lived a little bit. Okay, when you live a little bit, we've been married 30-something, we do marriage counseling, and I'm gonna tell you something, we've never sat with a couple that came into our office and was like, Pastor, you gotta do something, my husband is just too kind. We've never had a wife, we've never had a husband say, oh, you guys gotta do something, my wife is just too kind. No, it is always simply, so he may be looking fine right now, but I'm telling you, there may be some wisdom here that we got to look for some inner character thing. Pastor went from preaching to meddling. Look at him. I'm trying to help somebody here today. I know he looks good, and we spend so much time in the mirror, right, looking good on the outside, but God is calling us to abide in him so we can look good on the inside. I mean, Peter even addresses this about women and dressing and apparel, and you can take it for men too. We may look good on the outside, but Peter says, let it be the character of a person that is attractive. Well, the scripture says that it's attractive. It's attractive. I remember being in high school, and I think I was in my sophomore year at John F. Kennedy. We done moved to Taylor, and there was this girl that everyone thought she was cute but me. No, actually, I didn't know Melinda at the time. She was fine. I'm just going to tell you. Everybody liked this girl. And I remember being in class, and she came into the class, and guess what? Guess who had an empty desk next to him? I was like, I'm using my mind powers. Get over here and sit in this desk. I was wanting her to sit next to me so bad. And guess what? She came and sat next to me, Frank. She sat next to me. I was a sophomore, so you're going through that stage where you're like, you know, you're just kind of like... True story. And she came and she sat down, and man, I was like, what am I going to say? And seriously, she was like, I can't sit in this disgusting, ugly desk. That's how she said it. It's got graffiti all over it. She said, graffiti? Now, I'm from E-Course. I'm thinking, who was over there tagging that desk up? I'm like, what? And I looked, and there was some writing on a desk. Someone wrote something on there. And she stood up, and she made this biggest scene. I mean, and the teacher gave her some spray bottle. She had to clean it. She sat there. She had the ugliest personality. By the end of the semester, by a couple weeks later, I was sitting on the other side. I was like, y'all can have that seat. Because she was fine, but she wasn't kind. Telling you today that kindness is attractive. But it also, kindness also attracts the blessing of God. Let me tell you that kindness also attracts the blessing of God. Why ain't I getting breakthrough, Pastor Reddy? I'm following the Bible pattern, reading. I'm going to church. I'm even giving in the offering. I'm going on this missions trip. And man, I haven't seen this. And God is saying, listen. You want to attract my presence, my favor, and my blessing. It's this thing, man, of how you treat other people. We're going to get to the gifts of the Spirit and talking in tongues and power gifts. But now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because it's not about speaking in tongues unless we learn to control our tongue. Come on, give me an amen in this church today. That's for me too. That's the fruit, see? That's the fruit. And the fruit is something that we give to other people. Fruit is something that we walk around and people see the fruits in us, and they want the fruit of kindness and they want the fruit of love. They want to see the fruit of patience. People would rather see a sermon before they hear a sermon. Come on, somebody. They want to hear that and see what Jesus has done in your life. And no, none of us is perfect. None of us feels like being kind. That's why we're told to put it on. And once we put it on, it is attractive. And you'd be surprised that you watch what God does. I remember that was a turning point in our marriage, being married for a long time. And I remember Melinda just having so much to do on her heart, man. We're fighting and arguing, which we don't do that anymore, but you can hear us disagreeing down the street sometimes. Amen. So anyway, but we've learned to fight well, and we've learned to make up well. Come on, somebody. You're going to have to learn to do that. Preach, preacher, up there today. You're going to disagree, and you're not going to get along with your spouse, but you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn to fight well, and you're going to learn to make up well and end it up. And so it's attractive. And I remember just turning my attitude and choosing, because I always thought, well, she ought to apologize. She ought to do this and all of that. But I said, no, I'm the head of the house. We think the head of the house is, woman, come in here and bake me some cookies. But I've learned if we do our role, our wife will make cookies before us even asking them. Because if we would love our wives, we're gonna go there, fellas. If we would love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, then I haven't met a woman that has no problem submitting and coming alongside a man like that. Come on, somebody. Am I right, ladies? But I wasn't that guy. And I know right now you're about to get out of here right now, some of you. But I'm telling you something. This will change your marriage. This will change it. It's attractive, and it attracts the blessing of your spouse. It attracts the blessing of God. Our marriage did change on the dime from me just starting to be more intentional on how I talked with her, how I looked at her and not overlook her and things like that. But it also attracts the blessing of God. Put both of these scriptures up here if you got them on the screen. Proverbs is so loaded with these. I love them. Those who are kind benefit themselves. Benefit themselves. Look at that. But the cruel bring ruin to themselves. I know we're a little teaching today, but that's okay. Those who are kind benefit themselves. There is a benefit, there is a blessing that comes in with this fruit. And the other one says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Let me tell you something, God pays his bills. If you do something that is, the Bible says that it's like lending money to God, I sign me up, because I know God is not delinquent in any. He don't have to give him a notice. And some of y'all are like, well, I'm waiting on it. Listen, God's got it on the way. But he says that it's like lending to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. It attracts the blessing of God. That's what was about Jesus. No matter where Jesus went, people wanted to just be with him. People wanted to just sit when he wasn't always preaching. It says tax collectors and sinners wanted to eat with him. And when he told the tax collector, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. That was a huge, huge deal. He wasn't the type that was avoiding Jesus. Jesus wasn't that type of person. People invited Jesus. And I think the reason why so many are not invited, they're blocking Jesus. They don't want Jesus coming around because you don't know the goodness and kindness of our Lord. Let me just preach that today. And we don't hear a lot of that today. I know that. But we need to hear how good and how kind Jesus is and his plans that he has for you and for me. But it attracts the blessing of God. There's a couple in our church who just a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, they left from here And we've been going through the book of Romans on Wednesday, man, and it's been really good, really deep, how we're learning how to present ourselves as instruments to be played by the Holy Spirit, not to present yourself as instruments to be played by the flesh. That's Romans 6, 7, and 8, deep. So we're preaching, and this couple, this family was going home on a Wednesday night, and they happened to see a lady broke down in the middle of a busy road, and so they came up, and they were like, hey, let's stop and help. They stopped, and they put on kindness. They were in a hurry. They could have just went right on by, but they said, let's stop, and they stopped, and they went and helped her. She ran out of gas, so they had to go, and they had to go to a gas station. They had to get a gas tank, fill it up with gas, bring it, the whole nine yards, and do all of that, and just wanted to bless them and help them out. And on the way home, it was a lot later now. They both had to get up early for work, and they're going home. And the wife says, you know what? They're going to go through Wendy's or something and grab. They're going to grab a late night snack. And on the way home, and the wife says, you know what? I have a check in here. I haven't even opened it yet. It was this little check she had. And she opened it up. And listen, when it was the exact amount to the penny of what they just spent to help that woman get her gas. To the penny. Why? Because kindness attracts the favor of God and the blessing of God. Kindness is one of these acts that we're told to do throughout the scripture. And here's where the Lord really want to minister this to us today. Kindness, and I know it kind of rubs some of us the wrong way because we don't have that in our nature. We don't have that in our character, and it's something we do got to put on. But I'm telling you something, it does benefit us in a major, major way. Many times in scripture, kindness is associated with forgiveness. Over and over, probably 80 or 90% of the time, the word kindness is associated with forgiving your enemies, forgiving people. Jesus says in Matthew, you know, it's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you. What profit is that? Even the Pharisees and hypocrites do that. But yet I have called you to be kind to your enemies. I know that that goes against our culture, but he just goes on and on and on. Let me just give you a couple of these scriptures here that the scripture that you, I want you to see kindness and forgiveness. It's all in the Bible. Let me give you a couple. Colossians, we read it earlier. Now let's read all of it. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness. And then he says this, quick to forgive an offense. Everybody say quick to forgive. He says, be quick to forgive. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master has forgave you. That's the Message translation. Forgive quickly. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Why is that? Because the Bible also says that there's this other thing that the scripture has, and it's called bitterness. Go to that other scripture if you got it up there. Bitterness is up there. And it says, let all bitterness, everybody say all bitterness, and wrath and anger be put away from you. Bitterness. What is bitterness? Because bitterness shows up in Hebrews. If you don't know this, throw this up there. Hebrews says that bitterness is a root. Watch it. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you or corrupt you and cause trouble. So what I want to do here, what does all that mean? He's saying, be quick to forgive. Oh, I want you to get this message. God is saying, I want you to be kind. I want you to be quick to forgive in offense. So let me show you what this scripture means. Okay, I'm gonna try to illustrate this. So let me have a little guy here. Spencer there, Ashley? Spencer, come here, young man. Come on, come here, Spencer. Give it up for Spencer. This young man, he got really touched by God in the revival. This man had the Lord all over him. But we're gonna move you over here so the cameras can get you, bud. There's a lot of people watching. Wait, everybody, okay. Okay, he's a sweet young kid right here. A young man loves Jesus. But listen, I want you to go with me on this. He represents offenses. He's going to represent we all are going to get offended. The Bible says in the book of James, it's impossible to not be offended, and it's impossible not to offend someone else with this thing in our mouth called a tongue. Some folks get offended because you didn't get invited to a graduation and you invited them to your graduation, or it's also marriage season, right? Or, I mean, the list can go on and on. If we were at Christmas time, I would talk about being offended because you didn't. We get offended all the time. I'm going to offend you. The person next to you is going to offend you. You are going to be offended sooner or later. You're going to get offended. And so when you just stand still right here, he's going to be offended. But the Bible says that if we don't deal with offenses when you first get them, that they actually grow into something else. They grow into something a little bit bigger. Let me have Zachariah. Come here, young man. This is one of our high school seniors. Give it up for Zachariah. Why don't you stand next to him? This is what the Bible teaches. This is what we were just reading. That offenses are going to come every day. They're going to come regularly. You're going to get it at work. You're going to get it at church. You're going to get it in your family. You're going to get offended. You got it? If you don't deal with offenses, see, that's why he says be quick to offend. Be quick to offend, because it turns from offenses to anger. Well, anger. And you start getting offended and you start thinking about the offenses, and the more you think about the offenses, the more angry you get. That anger starts to eat you up. Now listen, so far, we're not really in sin. Put that one scripture up in Ephesians. The Bible says you can be angry, but sin not. So being offended, being angry is not sin. It's what you do with the offense that will determine how far this thing's gonna go. And if you allow the offenses to hang around and you're thinking about it, every time you see them, every time you see them on Facebook, every time you hear their name, every time you hear that one song that reminds you of them, every time you smell cologne that reminds you of them, anything else, you're going to get it. You're going to hear it comes this anger, and you got these twins going on. And the Lord is saying, hey, be quick to forgive. Be quick to show kindness, because I have shown kindness to you even when you didn't deserve it. But if we fail to do this, and many have, the Bible says, it says this, it says, be angry, but sin not. Watch it. Do not let the devil get a foothold. Whoa. Do not let the devil get a foothold, because if you don't deal with this on this level, the enemy comes. Come here, Phil. You're going to be the devil. It's our youth director. He feels like he works with devils sometimes. Amen. But no, he's not. I'm just kidding. We got a great youth. No, I was youth pastor for 11 years. Why don't you stand right here? So we got offenses, we got anger, and then we got unforgiveness. The reason why I chose them at this level is because of this. Because you can be offended. Jump on my back, Spence. Ready? Offenses are not that big a deal. You can still go to church and be offended. You can go to work And be like, hey, we're having coffee this morning with the very person who you just hopes to put poison in that cup. You can still go to work, though. You can still go to work. You can still go to church. You can sign up for life groups. I can't wait to get upstairs. And you know, as well as I'm sitting here, you are offended, but you can do a lot and be offended. You can be so, I mean, you could raise your hands and go to a concert. I love Jesus. But you know what? It does start to affect your walk. It does start to affect your energy, because you got this thing hanging around. Wouldn't it be so much easier to live your life if you could just be free of that thing? Don't the Bible teach, don't pick up an offense? That's the language. We offer this class called The Bait of Satan. We're going to offer it again. It's a life group during the summer. And he pertains to this and he goes deeper. But I want to keep going. So you have that. Now listen, if you don't deal with him, you got another problem that's a little bit heavier. It's this guy. Come on, Zach. Come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're nice, Phil.
Now you're like, it's not as easy as the offense. Man. Come on. Oh. Here it is. You can't hide this one. You can't hide it long. You can walk around with offense smiling. Oh, man. Watch me. You ever meet an angry person?
Yes.
They mad at the dog. They kicked the cat. And they ain't even been home for 5 minutes yet. Why? Because they picked up on the offense and it has grown into their life, and now they got this.
So true.
Now, I'm not going to put him on my back. You get the point, but I want you to follow me. If I put him on my back and I walk around, listen, I am not gonna do anything. I cannot go far at all. It's gonna take, listen, it's gonna consume every bit of energy, every bit of my thoughts, every bit of strength, every bit of vision. It's gonna take all of my strength to hold him up. And here's the thing, he's enjoying the ride. Some of the people we're offended at, we've got offended, we hate, and we carry this offense, don't even know. They're like, ooh, isn't this a good day? And we're the one walking around, oh man, I just can't wait to get this off of me. This is why the Lord says to be kind, because this thing starts to grow. And then you deal with unforgiveness, and you can't do half of anything. You better sit down, because I ain't going far with this guy. But can I tell you that there's one more that the Bible says if we don't deal with this. Come here, LaDon. It's my boy. I've been knowing him for 33 years. So listen. This is deep. This is exactly what your Bible teaches. The Bible says we have a root of bitterness. That's this guy. And he says he's a root. He don't show up the first time you're at work. No, he shows up like this. It's a root. It's a cute little guy, but it actually the offense is a root of bitterness. But if you don't deal with him, and you can do a lot. You can walk around, I love Jesus. You can walk around. Then he grows into anger. You're just angry. You wake up angry. You don't even know why you're angry. And all of this reason. Then all of a sudden that root of bitterness is growing. You got unforgiveness. And you are like. Here's the thing. This guy, I am not putting him on my back. Because he's gonna crush me. Because, listen, you don't carry bitterness. Bitterness carries you. Can you do it?
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Listen. Bitterness gonna carry you. This is what the thing is. You may wanna go over there to that church. You wanna sign up for a life group. Bitterness says you ain't gonna step 1 foot into that life group because so-and-so's there. Come on, go that way. Bitterness gonna carry you down here. Stop right here. Bitterness is gonna take 2 more steps.
Okay,
stop. Bitterness will cause you to walk right past divine appointments that God has got called you to do. But because you're bitter, it's going to carry you right out. Come on, let's see how far you can go. Did you skip leg day? Come on. Okay. You should be up there at the altar being with God. But listen, bitterness will carry you away from God. Okay.
Let me down.
Listen, I was going to have him go all the way out the doors, but he told me before service, we're getting older, people. Bitterness will carry you right out of God's will. When bitterness is full grown, that's why he said, watch out. That's why I want you to write this last point down, and then we're going to start to close. Is this kindness is the antidote to offenses. What is an antidote? An antidote counteracts the venom. An antidote counteracts. That's why Jesus said, be quick to forgive. That's why when Peter came to him and said, Lord, do I forgive my brother 70 times 7? He went, oh, Peter, do it 70 times 7 in one day. Why? Why did he say quick to forgive? Because there's a root of bitterness. And when I'm on his back, he can take me in. I am held captive to that bitterness. Yeah. Some of y'all want to do things for God. Some of you want to get deeper into God. But that bitterness has got you encapsulated. It's got you enslaved. It got you in bondage. And it's going to carry you from this group to that relationship, to this relationship, to that relationship. And you wonder why, how come I'm dealing with the same thing every time? Because the Lord said you didn't deal with it right here. And that root began to grow. And now you don't carry it. It's carrying you anywhere and everywhere it wants to go. Come on, give him a hand. Thanks, brother. That's why scripture says this. I'm closing. Romans says this. Dear friends, never take vengeance. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. God says, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to handle who offended you. You either handle it on your own, or you let me handle it on my own. And I've learned by trial and error that you let God handle it. Watch what he says. He says, for I will take vengeance. Instead, this is what you do. You ready? Your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. You ever hear kill them with kindness? Come on, you ever hear him kill them with kindness? That's what I just demonstrated to you. You kill them with kindness. Kindness is the antidote to offenses. It's also the kryptonite to your flesh. Because your flesh is not going to want it. They don't deserve it. No, they don't deserve it. But you're the one that's is getting heavier. You're the one that's slowing down in your communion with God. You're the one that's slowing down because you've got this weight on you. It could be an ex-wife. It could be an ex-husband. It can be an ex-pastor. It can be an ex-coworker. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. That's why the Bible says repeatedly all throughout the scripture to be quick to forgive. Why? Because it's going to get you and that thing's going to grow. And once he got you, he has you. You can come to church all you want. Soon you won't even come to church, and you don't even know why that heaviness is there. I'm telling you, because the enemy's got you taken captive, and that bitterness is going to take you right out of the will of God. I'm going to invite our worship team to come, and I know this is serious because during prayer this morning in the prayer service, up front, pre-service prayer, I haven't said anything to nobody or to this young lady, and she surely didn't see my notes. And she might have knew I was going to preach on kindness because it's the fruit of the Spirit, but ain't nobody expected this on kindness. How many expected this on kindness? Listen what the Holy Spirit told her this morning. Resentment and bitterness is an unforgiving heart. It's like you have an arrhythmia that keeps your heart beating at a limited capacity. And it's like your heart is in a prison and you're living your life through the bars. This is what the Lord dropped in one of our sisters up at prayer this morning before I even said anything. That there's people listening to me right now, and you got this on your heart, and you've let that offense grow, and it's become angry, unforgiveness, and now it's bitterness. That person's name goes, and I know, listen, this is hard, and you can't do it on your own. I couldn't do it on my own. But that's why the Holy Spirit is called the helper. The helper. He says, let me handle it. Don't take revenge. So what do? This is what you do. We're going to pray right now. And then you begin to be intentional. And you begin to pray. What did Jesus say? Pray for your enemies. Some of you are offended at me right now for telling you to forgive the person that hurt you. That's how I know this hurts. I've had people do things to me. And I'm not going to go that deep in my life. People I trusted, my wife, we can't go deep with this, but I'm just telling me, we're not just a preacher, we're a spokesman, we're a representative. And I have to do this on a daily basis because some of y'all offend me regularly. Let me just be real with you. Coming to this church for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we're still at these levels. Things that people, I mean, we all live with it. But I want to know how many is here ready to get it off your back? If you're here today or watching online and you said, that's me, I want to get it off my back, I want you to stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. You want to get it off right now. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is what the Lord told me yesterday. I was out mowing my grass and I was preaching this message. My neighbors think I'm insane. My one neighbor, I casted the devil out of him, so they already know I'm insane. But anyway, he moved. And anyway, so I'm out there preaching, and I said, Lord, we get to the altar. How I want to do it? And God said, I don't want you to use your altar workers. I want to meet with them myself. So I'm going to do this. We're going to play a song. These altars are open. Those of you that are standing, those of you that need to get delivered, I want you to come and find a place to pray. Come and kneel. This is between you and your God. Come on, and bring that offense with you. Bring, if it's anger, bring it with you. If it's an offense, and it's if it's bitterness, bring them up there. Come on. Force them to come up here. Come and find a place to pray. Find a place. You can kneel. You can stand. Come on. Come and find a place. God's going to do this. He told me to tell you to do this, so I know he's going to do this. Come on, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. If you're at home watching this, obviously you can't be here. Will you make an altar at your home? Which camera I got? Can you make an altar at your home? And commit today that you're going to begin to pray for this person every day. When this service wears off and the goosebumps go, I want you to remember, wake up tomorrow and you're going to pray for them. Because if you don't, that bitterness is waiting for you. Just begin to call out to God. Let them go. Let them go. Father, I give them to you. He don't deserve it. I know he don't deserve it. But neither did us. And Jesus forgave us. And aren't you tired of carrying it? Aren't you, isn't it heavy? Aren't there places you want to go? And you can walk to a place. I don't got time to tell you these stories, but I've been able to walk right up to the person that hurt and scarred my soul. Been able to give them to the Lord. I'm not best friends with them, but I've given them to the Lord, and my heart is clear, and I want you to do that today, right now, this morning, as we just play, as we play. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray and give it to God. Now I'm going to ask my altar workers to just make your way. If you want to gently put your hand and pray for folks, if you do want additional prayer, you can, but just have a moment and don't leave until this thing is clear, until you release them. I know moms and dads, some of you got parent problems and had a bad past, and I know it hurt, and I know no one can hurt you like somebody that's been that close. Nobody can, but let me tell you something. You need someone closer that can heal you, and that is Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. That's going to heal you from the inside out. It's going to heal you from the inside out. Jesus. Jesus. We're just going to keep praying. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Altar team, just be led by the Lord and move upon people and pray. Rest of you, will you just worship with us? Maybe reach your hand this way.